thank you. And the worship team, gee, they do a brilliant job every week, don't they? Worship team is just fantastic. Really good. God is just so good to us. To the visitors today, particularly to Pastor Dan and Caitlin, Olivia, Matthew and Georgie, wonderful to have you guys back. Welcome home. I've missed you. I may have mentioned that a few times over the last 3 weeks, Churchill, but anyways, it's great to have you guys back. Welcome back. Well, Matthew chapter 4, church. Fortunately for me, Pastor Nat gave me the springboard by leaving me that last little bit of chapter 3 to bounce off. This week I want to talk about the imperative, essential and indispensable Holy Spirit of God. The imperative, essential, indispensable Holy Spirit of God. Once again, I have the joy of being able to minister the Word of God to you this morning. I pray that as you open up your hearts to receive what the Lord has for you today, I pray that you also will be just as blessed as I have been over the past week as I prepared this message today. There's a couple of liberties today, so I beg of you for your patience with me. But first we should pray. Oh, gracious Lord, we want to see you in this passage today, this morning, and sense the precious Spirit within us as you minister to us. Lord, hide us that none should be seen but Jesus and Him alone. And I ask that we may have a fresh encounter with you, Holy Spirit, today. As we open our hearts and minds in your word, wash us with your word today. We want to know you. We want to sense your presence. And Lord, just let that dew of heaven fall upon our thirsty and hungry souls. In Jesus' name, amen. What I'd like to do this morning is to draw out some insight about the person of the Holy Spirit from Matthew chapter 4. And more so, to draw a response from us. That's where I'm headed today. Not that I want to box up what we understand about the mighty Holy Spirit of God, but to look at Jesus' example of the intimacy that he had with the Spirit of God. John's account, he speaks about the Holy Spirit like a wind, and he says that he comes and goes as he sees fit. And sometimes we struggle with this comprehension of who the Holy Spirit is. This is why we need faith. And we need to believe and to trust God when we read his word. So as I've poured out over the passage, I can't help but see so much is referenced directly and indirectly in Matthew chapter 4 about the Holy Spirit. So would you please turn Bibles, devices, whatever you have to chapter 4. And I'll kick off where Pastor Matt left off last week in chapter 3 verse 11. Now Matthew introduces the idea of the Holy Spirit likened to a fire. Like a fire. We have this sense of the cleansing, purifying, all-consuming nature of the Spirit of God. Winnowing. He's sifting our lives, our whole being, as we are brought into a new creative place of being. We are a new creation in him. We have this transformation of eternal consequences. Can you fathom that, church? Eternal consequences. A cleansing beyond any earthly capacity or capability or comprehension. This is out of our realm of thinking. A holy creation emerges, totally acceptable to God. No longer are we the object of punishment or of wrath and shame. But as we heard earlier, thank you, Leighton, we are the apple of God's eye. We are God's beloved possession. God pours his love into us by the Holy Spirit. Romans 5, 8. But it's in there somewhere. Okay? But he pours his love into us. He floods our soul. Floods our soul with his love. And when we are born again, we are rebirthed of and by the Spirit of God. We are new creations in the Spirit. The old has passed. Behold, what has happened? The new has come. Everything is new. This is what it's like in the kingdom of heaven. A transformed life that grows every day to be more like Jesus. A life that lives in the power of the resurrected Christ, but also identifies with his suffering, with his passion. Can you remember this first love experience? When you realized that death and hell had no claim on you ever. sin was broken over your lives. We read here about this baptism of the Holy Spirit could be likened to being plunged in the fiery breath of Almighty God. Have you ever breathed in hot air, this fiery baptism of cleansing and holiness? I want to take you back to Genesis 1, Genesis 3, Genesis 1 to 3 in there. But remember that God breathed into the nostril of humankind, breathed into that first man and that first woman. Can you imagine that? The breath of life, breath of the Holy Spirit, that life gasp. And so too there is a quickening when we are reborn of the Spirit. It is a spiritual gasp when we are reborn in the Spirit. A call to holiness and righteousness in the life of the Christian. As Jesus testified when he was baptized, the Holy Spirit is central to bringing this about in us, something we are unable to do by ourselves or even replicate. But God's Spirit seals us for salvation. He is our deposit, our security of eternity, and a faithful witness of God's miracle in us. He is our deposit, our security of eternity. I just said that. He sets us on a path of righteous service, and Jesus shows us this example in Matthew 4, as recorded by Matthew. Let me read further on for you. This transformation comes from a witness of indwelling God's Spirit to our being. It comes from a total abandonment of us and a revelation, this life-transforming experience of the Spirit of God, by the Father's intimate, abounding love. The Spirit of God reveals God's pleasure in his creation. What happened when Jesus came up out of the water? There was a voice from heaven. This is my lad, this is my boy, in whom I am well pleased. Especially those fashioned by his own hand and in his image. God's pleasure rests upon them, upon us. As a result of this, from the depths of our own souls, the words, I am a child of God Almighty, should overflow abundantly and freely from your lips daily. And if you are struggling today, even now, to sense the pure love of God, his grace, his mercy, his joy, and his intimate pleasure upon you today, as if you were the only person alive in history, please don't leave this place today without talking to someone. Come and see me. Have a chat to me. If you don't have that witness of the Spirit that says you are a child of God and that God is pleased with you, don't leave this place today. Let's have a look at Matthew 4. Let's rip through this. It says here, then Jesus was led by the Spirit of the desert to be tempted by the devil after fasting 40 days and 40 nights. He was hungry. The tempter came to him and said, if you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread. And Jesus answered, it is written, man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. And then the devil took him to the holy city and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. If you are the Son of God, he said, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you. He will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. Jesus answered him, it is also written, do not put the Lord your God to the test. And again the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. And all this I will give to you, he said, if you will bow down and worship me. And Jesus said to him, away from me, Satan. For it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. And then the devil left him and angels came and attended him. Following Jesus' incredible confirmation and commendation, he is led by the Spirit into the desert where he fasts for 40 days and is tempted by the devil himself. Luke states here in his gospel in chapter 4, he says that Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, goes into the desert. Some translations say not only just led, but in some translations he is driven into the desert by the Spirit. in such a hostile environment. He undergoes this grueling fast. Might I say, under the conditions described, this is a supernatural experience. Under those conditions, not many of us could endure a 40-day fast and walk away unscathed in this situation. See, the Holy Spirit will take you and I at times. He will drive us. He will lead us into places and seasons and times and circumstances that we don't think are too flash hot. He'll do that. And at times we might face two paths, and one is green and lush and logical and exotic. And the other one will be just like this desert experience. It makes no sense. But we need to hear the Spirit's call. It's imperative that we hear the voice of the Holy Spirit saying, this is the way. I want you to go this way this time. But that's green and lush. No, I want you to go this way. And sometimes God will take us on places like that. And sometimes the purpose, it may be a time of growth. It might be a time of experiencing something in the Lord. A time that God needs us to endure something outside of our understanding, but well within his purpose and plans for us. Just remember that. You may not necessarily understand it. But if it's God, it's God's purpose. And then when we face opposition, just as Jesus was confronted by the devil himself, the Holy Spirit equips us with the tools and the gifts to face such things. We read in Ephesians 6:17, and if we correctly interpret it in the Greek, we read about the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And this is the weapon that Jesus was using. See, it is the Word of God, which is the Spirit that belongs to the Holy Spirit. That's how we interpret that in the Greek. I'll say that again. The Word of God, which is the sword that belongs to the Holy Spirit. This is why Jesus used Scripture to discount the devil's attack and temptations. For the Word of God, the Logos, is the sword that defends the attack that belongs to the Spirit, the Pneuma. And we note that the devil, what did he try and do? He tried to use Scripture against Jesus. That's how crafty he is, but Jesus just cut through that with other Scripture. This is the reason why it is so important that we hide God's living Word in our hearts. Church, if you are not in the habit of reading the Scriptures, may I encourage you to feast upon the Word as often as you can. Feast daily, if you can, on the Holy Inspired, Holy Spirit Inspired Word of God. I was talking with a lovely brother only a couple of days ago, and look, he's not very good at quoting, book and chapter and verse, but God has put the Word of God in his heart. The Spirit of God has put the Word of God in there, and the Word of God is this weapon that we use against spiritual attack and pushback. Because we can confidently say, God's Word says. Amen, church? Amen. See, the Holy Spirit brings the Scriptures back to us as we need them. The Holy Spirit ministers to us, comforts us, and brings us refreshment in these dry, dry times. And then we read on in Matthew 4 from verse 12. It says, when Jesus heard that John had been put in prison, he returned to Galilee, leaving Nazareth. He went and lived in Capernaum, which was by the lake in the area of Zebulun and Naphtali, to fulfill what was said through the prophet Isaiah, land of Zebulun and land of Naphtali, the way to the sea along the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people living in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. And from that time on, Jesus began to preach, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. Incredible that Jesus returns to Galilee in the power of the Holy Spirit. See, the Holy Spirit led Jesus to Capernaum to fulfill that scripture right back in Isaiah 9 and to equip him for his ministry, which is not directly mentioned here, but greatly implied. Jesus is ministering in the power of the Holy Spirit. And what about that quote? Well, it's Isaiah 9. We quote it often at Christmas time because it goes on to say, "For us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And of the greatness of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on. And the zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this." The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. The Holy Spirit in us anoints and empowers and enables and grants authority to preach the good news, the gospel of the kingdom. And what did Jesus say? He said, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near." It is at hand. This is what we call, and some of you have heard me preach on it actually before, this is a euangelion. This is what they used to do when they used to take a city siege. They would say, "Good news." The messenger would go in, the messenger with the message, "Good news to the siege city. We've taken you captive. Here are the terms and the conditions. You either perish or you accept and you receive, and we come in as your lords and masters." The same thing happens in the life of the Christian. The moment you come to Jesus in faith, you repent. And the terms and the conditions is you repent and you believe. And the benefits that follow is that you receive the forgiveness of sins and the gift of the Holy Spirit. See, this is the true gospel. There were many other gospels, but this was the good news that Jesus was bringing. And so here he is. He comes out of the wilderness. There hasn't been a voice for, like, a good prophetic voice for, what, 450 years? 430 years? And suddenly everyone is turned around because Jesus is the euangelion. He comes under the unction of the Holy Spirit. The kingdom of heaven has taken you siege. It's time to repent and believe, and you will receive the forgiveness of sins and the gift of the Holy Spirit. See, the Holy Spirit grants us gifts, both spiritual and natural, skills and talents to conduct the ministry that he has given each and every one of us to do his will, because it's something that we can't do in our own strength. And so we see this as Jesus moves on. So in Matthew 4:18, it says that as Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he sees two brothers, Simon called Peter and his brother Andrew, and they were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. "Come, follow me," Jesus said, "and I will make you fishers of men." And at once they left their nets and followed him. And going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and his brother John, sons of thunder, and they were in a boat, and their father Zebedee preparing their nets, and Jesus called them, and immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. This is a further demonstration of the power and authority of Jesus. He sees two brothers and another couple of brothers. He's drawn to these men. The Spirit draws him to these men. There is a spiritual discernment here. This is not by chance or a random whim. He just doesn't choose them randomly. This is the four men that God wants. And he's drawn to them. This is the direct leading. And how often has the Holy Spirit set up divine appointments in your lives, in my life, where he has drawn us to people? He's put people in front of our face, in front of us, so that we can share the love of Jesus and his gospel. How many times have you been pressed to make that phone call? Yeah? "You're going to have to talk to me, church." Yeah? 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 Okay. How many times have you had a vision of someone in front of your face and you've gone to prayer to pray for that person? You found out later that the prayer of a righteous person, right, prevaileth much. And it did. Incredible. But this is amazing here, because Jesus, full of the Spirit of God, has the authority. He gives a command, a call, come, follow me. I will make you fishers of men. The transforming power of a prophetic word. A powerful word. And I will make you fishers of men. And did it come to pass, church? Yes. See, this come reminds me of Jesus standing before the tomb of Lazarus. Come forth. As the old joke is that Lazarus came fifth and wanted to come. But come forth, he says. The power and authority over that which was dead and lost was made alive. Come here, in the Greek, has this aorus active imperative tense about it. But in plain speech, this is a command. An authoritative command, an order. An action that is a result of something that happened in the past that gives rise to a situation. And what's the response? Immediately. Immediately. Imagine yourself in the situation whereby that Jesus says, come, follow me. They drop their nets, or they pile them up on the thing and draw their boat up or whatever, and immediately follow Jesus. What kind of a word is this? This is a powerful word. Powerful command. And Luke 4 explains that this moment followed on directly after Jesus had an incident in the synagogue at Nazareth, where he reads from the book of Isaiah in chapter 61, where he reads these words and proclaims them to be fulfilled in himself in their presence. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners, recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. This is what has just happened that has precipitated the command. Jesus is the Messiah. He's the promised one of Israel. Of the world, the Savior of the world, and the Spirit of the Lord is upon him to bind up the brokenhearted, to break the fetters and the chains, to smash the hold of sin and death over people. Church, are you hearing this morning? This is the power. So he has this authority and anointing to do the work of the Lord. The Holy Spirit brings to us revelation, ability, and equipping. The Spirit brings us fortitude and endurance and a discernment as we live for the Lord. And look at what happened to these four fishermen, Peter, Andrew, James, and John. In 3 years, 3 years, from this point, they experienced the infilling of the Holy Spirit and they were totally transformed. They became apostles, leaders, fathers of the faith, the New Testament church, God's mighty this prophetic transformation. It was noted that originally that they were unlearned men, but they had been with Jesus. They had been in the presence of the Holy Spirit. And Peter on that day of Pentecost, full of the Spirit, it says in Acts, what's he do? He stands up and he preaches to the multitude a message that by today's standards could be called a beautiful expository sermon, as he teaches and preaches from the Holy Scriptures and proves conclusively Jesus to be the holy, anointed, promised one of Israel. And 3,000 souls are saved that day. That's power. That's authority. And this proclamation of Jesus, of his fulfillment of Isaiah 61, begins to unfold in the very next passage. And I will conclude with this. It says in verse 23 that Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness among the people. News about him spread all over Syria, and people brought to him all those who were ill with various diseases, those suffering severe pain, the demon-possessed, those having seizures, and the paralyzed, and he healed them. and large crowds from Galilee, the Decapolis, Jerusalem, Judea, and the region across the Jordan followed him. Let's wrap this up today. Wrap it up so it may spill over into our lives and into the week ahead. Jesus continues under the power of the Spirit, continues to teach and to preach and to heal and deliver, to fulfill everything that was within that passage of Isaiah 61. It says that large crowds, now when you look at this on a map, this is south of the Jordan, this is west of the Jordan, this is east of the Jordan, this is Jews and Gentiles alike. They flock to Jesus, flock to Jesus. Ministry is exhausting. Many times Jesus had to pull aside. Look, ask any pastor how they feel after preaching on a Sunday. Ask Leighton how he probably feels after ministering the last 3 days with memorial services. You know? You are exhilarated, but yet you are exhausted. How do you feel when you are ministering to other people the Word of God? It's tiring work. You feel exhausted. See, but it all comes from the overflow of your soul and from your spirit and the Spirit of God within you. And only the Spirit of God can refresh in this way. We saw it at Pentecost. We saw it all the way through the New Testament church. We see it here as Jesus is preaching from the overflow of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit is imperative, essential, and indispensable within our lives, church family. If we are to live our lives for Jesus, without him, we live in the flesh sometimes, and that will ultimately bring us very little to bear. But in him, in his Spirit, we truly live, we move, and we have our being. In John 14:12, Jesus sends this message to us all today. Very truly, I tell you, verily, verily, whoever believes in me will do the works I've been doing, and they will do even greater things than these because I'm going to the Father. That's a challenging word, isn't it? That's a challenging word. So where am I going with this today? What's your point, Jambo? Well, in recent times, God has brought back to my memory that there's some good, amazing things within our fellowship. We are hearing of people being transformed by the power of God. God is doing this stuff amongst us. And not only with us, but right across the city and other churches. As we meet on a Tuesday, as the ministers of the churches of Rockhampton, we are hearing good news, gospel stories of God's amazing power. Can you dream with me a little bit for a moment? This is the liberty that I wanted to take this morning. It's obvious I've been stirred up a little bit this week. But I can't get this image out of my mind of people flocking to Jesus. I've asked myself this question, do I hunger and thirst to see whatever God wants for Rockhampton and Central Queensland, for Australia, the great South Land of the Holy Spirit? What does he want for Rocky? A Jesus movement? Dare we call it a revival? And it always begins with, you know, with us. To a people who are lost, a people who are broken, to see them respond to the gospel, witnessing firsthand the transforming power of the Holy Spirit in their lives. Imagine a Rockhampton where crime plummets, domestic violence seems a memory, and drugs cease to have an impact on our people. I'm dreaming. And that Rockhampton is overflowing with churches. Imagine a Rockhampton that every Sunday afternoon there are 3 big gigs going on of worship on the riverbank. 4. Mount Archer, Showgrounds. Have to cancel a couple of footy matches, sorry, but we've got to get into the park over there. Imagine Sunday afternoon worship gatherings in these areas. And as I talk to other pastors and to many of you, there is this desire, this excitement. I know God is always doing things, and we sing it. We sing that He never stops. He never stops working. Even when we don't feel Him, even when we don't see Him, and we believe this. Can I tell you that Pastor Dan, Pastor Craig, Pastor Layton, Pastor Matt, we are full of expectancy. I am expectant that something, God always wants to do something in our lives, and we need to be expectant all the time. We need to believe and trust God that whatever is going on, that His Spirit will accomplish this. And who knows what that may be. Even if it's only God's people are stirred up to live their lives for Jesus more in the fullness of the Holy Spirit, then this is a good thing, is it not? Yes, it is. Thank you, Gary Clark. Gary's been stirred up as well over this week as well. We have been communicating, haven't we, Gary? Yeah. My brother. And look, he's here. He's here. God's sorting out his health. Hallelujah. Today, afresh, look, as I just invite the musos, the worship team, that's the right word, to come up and to join me. Friends, can I encourage you to open your hearts afresh? Just surrender afresh to the Lordship, to the love. Commit to the love of Jesus and serve Him. Would you do that now with me today? Let's allow God's Holy Spirit to minister to us. And my prayer for you today is that God's Spirit would give you ears to hear and lips to speak and hands and feet to serve and hearts to know and to love. To love, to love, to love. Great waterfalls of God's love to be poured into Rockhampton and Central Queensland. Let's worship together, shall we? Let's stand and sing this beautiful song.